Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, we have Anna. Anna, would you like to share?
Thank you, Rachel. Hi, my name is Anna and I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict.
Hi, Anna.
My journey started 20 years ago this year. I was a flight attendant and on maternity leave when I went to see my psychiatrist who'd been treating me with depression for the last 15 years. As my family had stepped in and she had said to me, Anna, you're going to lose everything that's important to you unless you stop drinking. So before I knew it, I had to leave my 10-month baby behind and travel down to Hamner Springs in Hamner and did the AA program down there. I have to say it was a bit of a shock to the system because I was used to dealing with airline people, all the facade. And suddenly I was faced with private plus guests from the criminal justice system. And I thought, this is the wrong place for me. I'm not an alcoholic. I just didn't try hard enough to give up. And I told my story to my counsellor and he gave me a fabulous book to read about addictive thinking. Luckily, my mind was open to the fact that after I had read the book, I realised that I was an alcoholic. I was just lucky enough to be caught early, but I could recognise all the thinking that is addictive that goes with addiction, such as on my way home, I used to say, oh, well, I'll stop off at the bottle shop if there's a car park on the way home, but if not, I'll just carry on home. So I'd drive past and there wouldn't be a car park, so I would carry on home. But within half an hour, I had told myself all the reasons why it was all right to go back and get a bottle of wine or two. That's sort of addictive thinking. Anyway, I never drank again, but unfortunately, I carried on smoking marijuana and taking pills, herbal highs and BZP party pills, speed, ecstasy, cocaine when I was in LA, blah, blah, blah. And 12 years ago, the airline started to bring in a alcohol and drug policy, and I tried to give up everything. I used to tell myself every Friday, I'm going to have one more binge weekend, and then I'm going to give up everything on the Monday, and I actually used to believe it. When I found I couldn't give up marijuana and pills, I went to CADS and they were great, but even with their help I really needed to go back into treatment again, and the airline sent me to a treatment centre in America, and when I came home I took it very seriously. When I came home I found it incredibly hard not to have anything, and for the first year I was all right for about 4 months after getting back from the States, but I started to use again, and I spent the first year just relapsing over and over again. I still went to I go to AA meetings, but because I'm both, but I spent the first year just picking myself up, dusting myself off, falling over again, picking myself up. But the thing that I think that saved me was my higher power. I didn't know really what that was, but I just had to believe in the power of the universe, karma, goodwill, something from somebody somewhere looking after me. And after a year of relapsing, I was able to just never relapse again, and that was 12 years ago. So I have a wonderful life. I try and maintain my recovery, which is absolutely necessary. I'm presently studying addiction in Dunedin and work at a treatment centre in Auckland. I'm just a student, but I want to help other people, and I have a real affinity to people, and it breaks my heart to see people suffering. It's a disease that tells you that you haven't got it. I used to sit in flash bars in LA thinking, well, I'm not an alcoholic, because look, I'm not under a park bench drinking vodka out of a brown paper bag with a coat on. But it's subtle, powerful, baffling, and extremely dangerous. And I didn't want to die, and I want to have a good, healthy life. So if anyone's out there struggling, whether they're an alcoholic or not, they probably are. And because most people that drink normally don't wonder if they're an alcoholic. And I have to say, it is quite difficult going through the phase of drinking and then recovery, that gap in between, that river, where you struggle almost every day to stay clean. And it's pretty overwhelming at times, and you won't be able to do it on your own. It's a disease where you have to get better with the help of other people. And I did what I was told. I got a sponsor. I went to 90 meetings in 90 days. I think I might have done just a little less than that, but I really got my head in the foundations of AA. And once again, when I started to get better, my life, without even me trying, just started filling up with good things. I still have to watch myself and not get a big ego, and stay humble and be kind to other people, and be very grateful. I'm so grateful of the life that I have now. Everything that I have in my life is built on my sobriety, and I feel very fortunate that I was given the opportunity of having two goes at this. And thus far I have been okay, but I also know that that can also be a barrier, in that when you've been in recovery for a long time, you can start thinking that you don't have, that you can let your guard down and that you can relax a bit. But I've seen from other people that that is something that's puts you in a very dangerous position, because before you know it, your disease is telling you that you don't have it anymore. And I don't want to go down that track. So I maintain my recovery by doing this kind of thing, talking to help other people and working with those that are still suffering. And every day I'm grateful. It just feels like heaven. And I think back to what it was like using, and it was a nightmare. My first AA meeting that I went to, it felt like I was backing away from hell. And it doesn't get better, it gets worse. And it's never a good time to give up. You just have to find the courage to walk into an AA meeting if you can, with the help of somebody else if you can, and just stick with it. It's the easiest, softest way, rather than trying all different ways to manage your illness. So I really wish everybody out there that's suffering or in recovery or wherever you are, this program absolutely 100% works. And good luck to everybody out there. I pray for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna.
Thanks, Anna.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person we have to share is Tony.
Hi, I'm Tony. I'm alcoholic addict.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
I guess I'll start from the beginning. So I'm 38. I have one 18-year-old daughter, and I come from a family of 9 brothers and sisters. My dad is an alcoholic, so we grew up with alcoholism. That's all we knew. We knew it's not a good way to grow up. You don't know how to handle your emotions. You're just full of fear. My dad, I think my dad gave me a first swig of a beer, maybe like 7, and I felt, yeah, I'm cool. My dad loves me. And I remember my mum taking it off him and growling him. And I'm like, oh, bitch. You know, that killed my buzz. I'm not connected with my dad now. And I started drinking probably 13. And then I found that gave me social confidence. Also, it was to be with boys, if you know what I mean, to feel comfortable with them. And that got me into a lot of trouble. You know, what I thought was love was not. And it's just repeated itself through time. So that's when I started drinking to get real drunk, bad hangovers all the time. And I wouldn't go out and socialise unless there was alcohol there. So that was, there. And my dad used to say to me, there's something in you. And he used to try to not let me drink because he actually got clean. But no, I wasn't having a part of that. This made me happy and that's what I'm going to do. So I had a daughter and then I stopped drinking. I was a good mum for a bit. Then my relationship ended with her dad. And then I just went off the rails and started drinking heavily, going out. Not actually caring about my daughter that much. It was more so about just getting drunk. And then I got clean. I just stopped it. I started doing drugs as well at the same time because it's progressive. And then I stopped cold turkey. My daughter probably about 5, 7. But I remember cold turkey. Didn't tell anybody. My body was aching and hot sweats and I didn't understand this. For like 2 weeks, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then I was like a dry alcoholic, I call it, for a good like 10 or so years with my daughter, and I took everything out of my daughter. I was so mean to her. I abused her so bad, like I used to call her these names and just take everything out on her, but it was how I was feeling inside, not her, and to this day I regret that. And that's why I'm making a living amends now. And then about the last, then I started got a job, and then I started drinking again with my work colleagues. Didn't think it was a big problem, but every Friday we'd go out for drinks, and I'm always the last one to go, not wanting to go. I guess your barriers are down and guys think they can get into you, you know, when you're just happy. But, maybe I put out signals I'm not aware of, most likely. But, yeah, it wasn't good. One work colleague and my boss's partner. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so wrong. But anyway, that was that. I just kind of ignored it the next time, you know. But yeah, I remember coming back to the office the next day and we just had all these wine bottles in the office everywhere and they said, what happened last night? And I just couldn't quite remember. I didn't think it was me, but I think, we just got real drunk. So we did that, I did that, but it was progressive, and then more drinking. And then I got into more serious drugs. Got into meth and alcohol, and that got real bad. Then that was just a downward spiral. I lost my job, and I got involved with a very violent relationship where he was drinking, and he used to hit me, and then wake up the next day and said, where did you get that bruise from? And I was like, it was you. But that just was normal to me because it, you know, grew up with alcoholism. And that's normal, you know. Guys drink. It's okay. So luckily I got away from that. And then I just still was downhill for quite a while. It's a bit broken. And then one day I met this girl, one of my close friends now, and she said she was in AA. This was like about a year ago. She was in AA, and I went with her, and then one time, and then it was all women group, so I felt safe. And everyone was sharing. I thought, wow, this is my story, and there, you know, I could understand, and the pain started coming out, you know. But then there was this hope, because they were having my story. There was this hope, and they, all these women were just strong, fierce women, and that's what I needed, because I had hope. It gave me, I went away from that meeting with hope, but I was still using. But eventually, about a month or two into it, I got a sponsor, and it was very slow progress because I was very hesitant, hey, it was very broken. And then luckily I had a sponsor, because God gives you, you know, when you need to learn something, if you haven't learned it, it'll come again bigger. So luckily I had my sponsor, because one morning the armed defender squad came in our house, and I was just bewildered. I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening, in shock. And that was such a risky time. If I was not in AA, if I didn't attend these meetings, I would have gone back straight down the gurgler and started drinking and using drugs, you know, just to cope. But instead of that, I picked up the phone and I called my sponsor, called my friend who introduced me to AA, and I got to a meeting, you know. And the things I heard, you know, that I learned early on in the first few meetings were the slogans like, one day at a time, this too shall pass was another one that I used, just to breathe. And that's what I used during that time. And in that time, it helped me realize, my coping things are destructive. I do like to get wasted and stuff to cope. And then getting sober, actually, I started getting sober. I had a slip on the 20th October last year. It was my mum's 60th birthday. And because I was happy, I went, oh, yeah, I'll have a drink with you, mum. And I was at the Sky City. We had it's like the Midori, because I had to pick one. And we had it. But my mum was sipping hers, and mine was gone within a few seconds, you know. And that's like, and then I was starting to scan, like, oh, yeah, what else can I have? And that's when I knew I had a problem, because I was starting just to go back down, just sculling, you know, didn't care. So that was my sobriety day. That's the day when I started taking it seriously, started reading, you know, the literature every day, did the steps, started doing the steps with my sponsor, and started listening. That's how I just started to change. And so now, today, I'm nearly, must be coming up 9 months. And because I have to learn how to live sober. I've never lived sober before. So it's quite scary at times. And it's very challenging, because I have this enemy dressed as a friend, I like to call isolation. And I'm just breaking free of that now, because I need to get out and socialize sober, and that's my biggest challenge for me now, and to get back out there and live a happy, fulfilling life, which I know is possible, one day at a time, and keeping things simple. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Tony. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Nicole.
Hi, I'm Nicole. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
My alcoholic journey started quite young. There was always alcohol around in my family. Both my parents, I believe, are alcoholics, and it goes back in generations as well. I think I was born an alcoholic. I was a rebellious child. I did everything on a large scale, and a lot of people couldn't keep up or couldn't control me or anything. When I was 14, I went through a traumatic experience, and alcohol came very apparent in my life. I went on to be diagnosed with a few mental illnesses, and with that, I used alcohol and drugs and everything to try and black out and become numb from those emotions. Emotions are really hard to deal with when you're an alcoholic, and it's really hard when you've used alcohol to black out those emotions, to try and let them in and experience them. Once, about the age of 20, there was an incident where I was drinking with a group of friends, and I thought I was a happy drunk. I never got violent or anything, but this one night a friend poured a bottle of something over my head as a joke, and I didn't find it funny at all, and I got up and hit her in the head and walked out, and I never hung out with them or drank with them again. It was quite scary. I'd never lashed out like that before, and I lost a lot of people around me. And it, from there, it was downhill. You know, it only got worse. As we say, it's a progressive problem, and yeah, there's no going back. At around 22, that's when I could finally admit that I was an alcoholic, and I had no problem admitting that I was an alcoholic, because that gave me an excuse and a reason to drink. You know, no matter what was happening, I could justify why I was drinking, whether, you know, I was having a good day, I'd have a drink, bad day, I'd have a drink. And special occasions, of course, but, you know, I tried to control my drinking as well when it got bad, but I'd use the excuse of, oh, I'll just drink on a special occasion, but I could justify every day being a special occasion. It could be because it's hump day, it's a time to drink. And, you know, along with the alcohol, my mental state worsened. I went into therapy, and my first appointment with a therapist, they said, right, we're booking you an early morning appointment. I'm not a morning person, so I was against that. But the reason they wanted me to come in early was to try and get me in before I had my first drink. I had become a 24/7 drinker by then, so I was going into these appointments at 9 a.m. before I'd had a drink. I'd be shaking, trembling, all the withdrawal symptoms, but I always made sure that I had a can of vodka in my cup holder in my car for as soon as I got out. And luckily, touch wood, I never got in trouble with the police for drink driving or anything. I should have. The amount of times that I drove intoxicated to me now is disgusting. But yeah, through my therapy, my psychologist recommended I should go to AA, and I thought that was a joke. I thought, nah, there's no way that I'm going there. But she planted a seed in my head, and 3 months later, I decided to go to my first AA meeting. And on that day, It's a battle in my head. Do I go? Don't I go? Why should I go? Why shouldn't I go? And I went to the gym beforehand and biked for about 40 kilometres trying to find a good excuse not to go. But there really wasn't one, you know. I had nothing to lose. So I went and I walked into those rooms, and it was far from what I thought an AA meeting would look like. I walked in and everyone was laughing and having a good time. I thought, these people are nuts, they're alcoholics, they shouldn't be happy because they're not drinking. But, you know, I sat and I listened to everyone who shared in that meeting, and there was one person who shared their experience, strength and hope. And that person's share hit me, and I thought, no, if that person could go through what they've been through and stay sober, there's no reason why I can't get sober. And from then, at the end of the meeting, I heard, just keep coming back, and I did. And that group of AA people in that meeting became my family. The love and support I got in those rooms was something I'd never had from my family or anything. And I kept going back. And at 92 days, I relapsed. Something happened, and I thought, I'll just have one drink. And I had one drink for a couple of days. But it was a slippery slope, and I started going backwards. And by 3 weeks, I was back to, my habitual 24/7 drinking, and I got alcohol poisoning for the first time in all my drinking. It was after that alcohol poisoning got me. I got into a bit of trouble with the police, and that's when I hit my true rock bottom, and it was either I'm going to go to prison or I'm going to die, pretty much. And so I did 90 meetings in 90 days, and I kept going back. Now I'm almost 2 years sober, and I wouldn't change anything in the world. What I have now is far better than anything I could imagine. I clung on to the ninth step promises that are read in meetings, and those promises are coming true. And I thought, well, if I can stay sober, I'm going to get these promises, and these promises give us a life worth living, freedom, happiness, relationships, you know, all the things we don't have when we're stuck in that alcoholic cycle. So if you're struggling out there, reach out. We're all here to support you. So, yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole.
That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.